brought to you by Penguin.
A Stroke of the Pen by Terry Pratchett.
This volume is dedicated to Pat and Jan Harkin, who have spent countless hours in the British newspaper archive in Boston Spa, Yorkshire, establishing the dates when the episodes of the Quest of the Keys story were actually published. As Rob Wilkins and I did not initially know when they appeared, Pat and Jan had to check through thousands of issues of the Western Daily Press, and while doing so, discovered stories written by Terry under the pseudonym Patrick Kearns, which are republished here for the first time, and to Chris Lawrence, who, at the age of 15, was so impressed with Terry's story, The Quest for the Keys, that he tore out the pages from the Western Daily Press in which it appeared, and kept them for 40 years before he cut out the columns, removing their dates, with happy consequences. Had he not done so, the Harkins would not have gone on their search, and thus unearthed all the rest of the stories in this book. We are deeply in their debt. Colin Smythe.
Terry Pratchett being now these 8 years dead, I have watched at first hand as the living person I knew has become a legend of sorts. Terry is, in the popular mind, as far as I can tell, a beaming, gentle, wise soul of twinkling eye and noble mien, a sensible old comforter, able to be enlisted by people of widely differing beliefs into their camps, because, of course, their Terry would have agreed with them. They love his books, don't they? And I cannot help but feel that this semi-mythical Terry, like Merlin, but with a witty quip instead of a wand and a slightly shorter beard, might as well exist in the popular mind as any other Terry Pratchett. He is merrier than the Terry I remember, significantly less irascible, much less likely to hold opinions you disagree with. Whoever you are listening to this, whatever it is you believe, I promise that the real Terry held at least one opinion that would have made you curl your toes and go, "Oh, come on, you don't really think that." He's level-headed and always lovable. The real Terry Pratchett was certainly lovable, but not always. He had, as he would have been the first to tell you, his days. Even I, and I still miss the real person I remember, am occasionally grateful for the new, revised, semi-legendary Terry Pratchett. We rarely disagree about what's happening when I'm making Good Omens, for example. And that, Terry, mostly gives me his blessing to do as I think fit. Having said that, we do disagree sometimes, or at least there are times when the Terry in my head is very clear on what we should be doing, and it's not what I would have wanted to do. And then I sigh and do what I'm pretty sure Terry would have wanted instead of doing what I would probably have done. Sometimes, when I think of Terry, I miss the bits of the stories Terry would tell me, or even show me, that were never published. They would have been, I suspect, on the hard disk that was crushed by a steamroller after his death. The fragment of the story about Rincewind's mother, for example, or the Dunnikin Diver section of the novel Moving Pictures. They existed once, but they're all gone now. Crushed into fragments, bits and bites reduced to bits and fragments of metal and silicon and glass. When Rob Wilkins, Terry's representative on Earth, called me and told me that a trove of Terry Pratchett stories had been unearthed by brilliant and dogged detectorists hunting through newspaper archives, I was unsure what to think. And then I read the stories, and I smiled.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?